Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Haunted Ride. I'm your host, Melissa, and thank you for joining me today. Today's episode is going to be a little different. So the first thing that's a little different about this episode is I recorded it during the week. I just needed to sit down and talk about something that was on my mind and something that I've been going through and that's been affecting me for the actual situation's been affecting me for like a couple months. But the sort of solution to the situation has been affecting me for like the last week or so. And it's been affecting how I deal with people, how I talk with people, where I spend my time. It's just really been affecting me. And even in last week's episode, I actually had to record that episode twice because of what's been going on. So I decided to share this episode because while it is not the happiest episode, it does deal a lot with what this podcast is about, which is about, you know, the paranormal and spirituality. It's about situations that I had when I was a kid where I was an empath. I communicated with animals. And it's also about losing animals and how difficult that can be. And, you know, I use this example all the time, but just because, like, just if you knew the world was ending tomorrow, it doesn't make it any easier. Just because, you know, as a psychic and as an empath, just because I know things in the future doesn't mean that I am comfortable accepting them. It doesn't mean that it doesn't affect me. It still affects me. It just means that I could kind of prepare myself a little bit about it for at some point. But you still have that like want for it not to be the case. You still want for that to not be what happens. But sometimes it does. So this episode, while sad, I do hope that you guys are able to listen to it. I think it's handled in a way that it's handled much like the episode 27, which was a really popular episode for this podcast, Stop Possessing People, Grandma. It's handled a lot like that one was. So if you enjoyed episode 27, you'll enjoy this one, even though the material's a little sadder than what we normally do on the podcast. But I do believe it's important, especially as someone who does this podcast and also gives advice to people, that I am real and genuine and honest with you guys, no matter what's going on. So I normally don't record in the middle of the week. Normally I record on Saturdays for Sunday, and then I post the episode on Monday. And that's just what works well for me, because it means no matter what's going on in the day, I'm going to have time set aside for recording and editing, and it's a long process, so you need to have time. But I've been struggling with something, and as I was coming home today, I thought about something that happened on Monday, and I realized what maybe it meant. So, to talk about this, let's go back a little bit. And I'll forewarn you, this episode is kind of like episode, I think it was 27? Stop Possessing People, Grandma? Where it's actually about something pretty personal. And I can't say it's like completely happy. There's definitely going to be some happy parts in it, but I don't know. I don't think it always has to be happy. I think what all these episodes need to be are real and authentic and genuine. So here goes. When I was a kid, and I haven't discussed my nationality on the show because I typically don't, but we might as well talk about it now. I'm extremely mixed. I'm Cuban, Jamaican, Panamanian, Jewish, Irish, Chinese, African American, and I always skip one, but there's another one. So I am all over the place, literally. And I have talked about how a lot of my family practices Santeria, which means a lot of my family is Cuban, and they do reside in Cuba. So when I was 5, we went to Cuba. Now, I want you guys to understand something. This is clearly before, you know, a lot of Americans were going to Cuba. This was definitely before Cuba started to become more popular for people to visit. It's a fine island. The people are nice. I mean, for the ones that I met. But I'm going to be honest with you. Something about being there with those people really touched my soul. It really did. And I remember this. And this is why I remember when I was there and how I felt. So it was my grandmother, my mother, and myself. We went there. We stayed with family. And the family had a farm. And I think that's what touched my soul. I didn't speak Spanish. How can I put it? I spoke it conversationally. I spoke it well. But I was definitely still learning at this point. So when we went to Cuba, a predominantly Spanish-speaking country, it was a lot of, I actually taught a lot of the kids in the neighborhood English. A lot of the kids in the neighborhood taught me Spanish. We would run out in the middle of the streets, and I mean like a ton of us. Like, I don't even remember all of them, but it was like a ton of us. We would run out, we would play music and dance in the middle of the streets. And everyone really looked out for one another, and I think that's part of what made me feel so happy while I was there. Now that we've talked about that, let's talk about the farm. So the farm had several chickens. I don't remember there being any cows, but I think there were like goats there. There was a gigantic pig. This pig weighed over a ton. So let me explain to you why this was the case. In Cuba, and I'm not sure if it's the same now, but you could only buy a certain amount of meat in a month. Meat was rationed there. So if you went over your ration, you couldn't go buy more meat until the next month. And this is why so many people had farms. So typically, like in every single neighborhood, there were a couple people who had farms. Other families who didn't. Like Cuba, you know, they didn't really like hoard stuff to themselves. Like, if you had it, so did your neighbor. And that's just how it was. So, you know, you would get, like, people who would come by and, you know, they buy a chicken or something like that. And that was kind of just how, for instance, for my family, we fed the neighborhood. So we had the chickens and we had the goats and we had this pig. And so let's talk about the pig, because the pig was my best friend. I told someone I was going to go talk with the pig. And I can't really tell you why I was so obsessed with the pig. I was like obsessed with this creature. And it's not because I have a thing for pigs. I don't. I promise you I do not. But I was obsessed with this creature, and I think I was obsessed with it because I remember as a child, I thought it was lonely. I didn't think the chickens were lonely. They had one another and they would run around and they were free-range chickens, so it's not like they were really in a cage. They had a coop, but they ran around. The kids would play with them, so the chickens I didn't feel were lonely. The goats I didn't feel were lonely. The cows next door I didn't feel were lonely, but this pig was in this giant, giant, I don't even really know if you could call it like a barn. It was really just made for, it was a structure that was just made to provide coverage for the pig, really. And it had like 4 walls and a gate. That was it. I remember even at the very top of the structure, it wasn't even fully enclosed. So, you know, the pig, I knew it was in there and I couldn't see it. So I didn't really know how big it was. But to me, I just knew I had to get to this creature. So for all of you guys who have listened to this podcast and know better, that would mean that I was extremely empathic as a child and clearly sensitive towards animals. But of course, I didn't know this at the age of 5. So, I told my family, like, hey, yeah, I'm going to go talk with the pig. And they're like, yeah, okay. I don't think they believed the words that came out of my mouth. So I was just like, and I knew they didn't believe me. And I was like, whatever. I told you guys where I'm going to be. So I walked over to the little structure that held the pig. And I said to the pig, can I come sit with you? And it kind of like made a noise. And I kind of just figured that noise meant that I was welcome. So I climbed the whole structure and I jumped down and I ended up inside of this dark structure with this pig. And the pig kind of looked at me and then rolled on its side and gave me its belly. And I just rubbed its belly while I talked to it. Now, again, let me remind you, this pig is a ton and I'm a very small 5-year-old child. And so if you guys don't know this, which I didn't know this until I watched 1,000 Ways to Die, if you lay down in front of a pig, like in front of its mouth, it'll eat you. It'll eat whatever is in front of it. So comically enough, I was more so to like the side catty corner to it. But it had kind of just rolled over so that I could be there and kind of give me my space and I could pet it, and I just talked to it, and I was just talking with the pig. So my mom starts looking for me, because now I've been gone for like a couple hours, like, and I'm just sitting here having a conversation with a pig, like literally talking out loud. I would wait, the pig would snort, and to me that was its response, and I was communicating with this animal. And to me, the pig really understood what I was saying. So my mom's looking for me, and she's looking for me, and she's looking for me. She can't find me. And she starts asking everybody where I am, and they don't know. So she goes and she finds one of the kids. And, oh, the kid says, yeah, Melissa, she's with the pig. She goes, what do you mean with the pig? She goes, she's with the pig. So my mom comes out, looks around the pig, doesn't see me. She goes, she's not with the pig. He goes, yes, she is. And my mom goes, no, I just went out there. She's not with the pig. And he goes, she's in the, and he called the structure, with the pig. My mom about lost her shit. She runs over and realizes that she can hear me talking to the pig. And she's like, Melissa! And so she's like yelling at me. And I'm like, what, mom? And she's like, how did you, why are you in there with the pig? And I said, because the pig is my friend and it needed company. So they had to go get someone to essentially, basically what now occurs is when I thought that the pig could understand me, it could. So I was like, as a 5-year-old child, essentially, I was communicating with this pig. And this was the longest time this pig had ever had with a human. So when they then tried to get me away from the pig got pissed. And so I had to tell the pig it was okay and I would come back. And then I told the pig that, and I kind of like petted it on the head and scratched it behind the ears and was messing with it. And my mom was like, I cannot believe this. I cannot believe you climbed in the pig pen. And I'm like, I told you where I was going to be. You just didn't believe me. Now, I promise this story will make sense in a second. So during the same trip, I want to say maybe like a couple days later, one of my cousins came by with a dog, a tiny baby puppy. And I loved this puppy. I mean, I fell in love with it right away. I was just like, oh my God, this small little precious child. Like, oh my God, I slept with that dog. I brought that dog everywhere with me. If I went to the bathroom, that dog was in my shirt walking around with me because I knew it was sick. I knew it was sick. I knew it didn't have like a lot of time. And in my mind, if I loved the dog enough and we brought it back to America, we could get the dog medicine and it would be fine. So long and behold, we are now leaving and I find out that I cannot bring my lovely dog with me to America. And I am devastated. So No one told me for 7 years. But both the dog died and passed away within 3 days of me leaving. The pig, I mean, you guys can figure out what happened with it. But it also happened not long after I left either. Which, that one's not that strange. And the dog, I mean, clearly, like, I figured out the dog was sick. I don't think my mom knew the dog was sick. She just knew I couldn't bring it to America. That wasn't going to fly. So, okay. That was my first time I ever had, like, a little fluffy animal that I just loved. So the second animal that I got was a cat, and it was named Brittany. Now, we went to the pound. My mom sat me down. She's like, you can get a cat. Like, all I wanted was a cat. Especially after the betrayal of finally finding out that my dog in Cuba that I had called for 7 years. It wasn't 7 years. I'm sorry. It was not 7 years. I found out in 6 years. So now I'm like a teenager. And so after the betrayal of this, of finally someone finally telling me, oh no, honey, that dog passed away right after you left. And so my mom fucked up on that one. So, okay, now she takes me to the pound and I'm going to get a cat and I'm super excited. And I'm like, oh my God, this is going to be like my little baby. And I'm going to have this cat for life, right? Like, that's my idea. We go to the pound and there are, she has me walk around and they would let you pick certain like cats to, I guess, basically like try and hold and see how you felt. So I get to this one area of black kittens, and they brought them out, and I picked this one that was super, it just like was, had so much spunk, and I knew it, like I just knew it. I was like, oh yeah, this one for sure. I just connected with it and was like, this cat. So I named the cat Brittany, and we took it home. Now, my mom is not a cat person at all. She's barely an animal person. Matter of fact, the first pet I ever brought home were two caterpillars that I'd caught in a park, and I put them in a bottle, and I poked holes in it, and I would feed them, and they were going to turn into butterflies, and in my mind, they were going to have babies, and it would be amazing, and I would have this bottle of caterpillars. And my mom, knowing the caterpillars were in there, moved the caterpillar bottle outside, and then ants came in and ate it. So my mom and I have not been very good when it comes to animals at all, because I keep getting the animal and then I keep losing the animal. And normally she's somewhat involved in either the lie or the cover-up or the actual crime, like every time. So now I've got Brittany, and my mom is honestly not that enthusiastic about the cat, but I am in love with the cat. Now, here's part of why she's not that enthusiastic, because again, I said it was a kitten. I also said it had a lot of spunk. Brittany, she would like scratch and bite and the normal things a kitten will do. But I would also play with her. Like we'd made like a DIY like toy that we'd play with her. The laser toys. I trained her how to use a litter box. Like, she would do the cutest thing in the world, because she was a terror. Like that cat was a fireball. Like, for sure, she was a fireball. But I loved her so much. And she would, especially early in the morning, she would just crawl up in bed, and she would get in the bend of my legs and curl, and she would stay there. So if my mom would try to wake me up, she would hiss at her and be like, no, you stay away. And then I would wake up and she would stay with me as I ate breakfast. And I love this cat. But long and behold, Brittany broke some stuff, which of course cats do. I would have to say, like, now as an adult, I know the house wasn't really cat proof. My mom had a bunch of crystals. And when I say crystals, I don't mean like spiritual crystals. I mean like crystal decanters, crystal glasses, crystal whatever the hell you can think of, like art, roses, everything. And I think the cat broke a couple, and my mom lost it, and so then I couldn't have the cat anymore. Okay. So this is now the second animal I've truly loved and lost. Okay, animal number three. Dog named Alex, who is a beagle. And I know you guys are probably saying, like, why am I sharing all this? And I'll explain it in a bit. So Alex was a beagle. So I had now 3 or 4 years have gone by. And we had visited someone who had a bunch of dogs just kind of randomly out in the backyard, which I thought was weird. And I found this one black lab. And I was like, oh, yes, like this one's perfect. This is perfect, right? I asked my mom if we could get the dog. He only wanted $20 for the dog. And my mom was like, no. So then she got the beagle a couple months later from this guy. So we get a beagle. And we are also, I might add, while we have Brittany and when we get Alex the beagle, we are living in the haunted house. So that may be part of why they kind of broke a couple things. I'm just saying. But I think by the time we got Alex, like, I'd closed the portal. And so, apart from some just random stuff that would happen, it wasn't too bad. And for the most part, Alex stayed outside. Now, here's the thing with beagles, and I wouldn't really let myself get attached to Alex. I loved Alex, but I knew right away we weren't going to be able to keep him. I knew it. Because, and it wasn't just like, as I'm telling the story, this has happened numerous times. It wasn't just that. It was, I just knew there was something that wasn't going to work. And I was right. It's that beagles like to hunt and they like to dig. And you know what my mom hates? Is animals who cause or destroy anything, including a barren wasteland, also known as our backyard. So Alex literally dug underneath the fence, and would go to the neighbor's yard to go chill with their dog and swim around in the pool. And then when I would come back home for school, I would call Alex, and Alex would come back up, and I would fill in the hole so he wouldn't get in trouble. It was a whole thing. He even got caught one day. It was like, and I found him like that, and oh, God. That was when I really realized how much I actually loved that dog. So, of course, we are now finally leaving this house, the haunted house, and we're going to go rent another house that is supposed to be a step up from this house and a better area with better schools and better everything. And so it's a really good move, but we're going to be renting, and she doesn't really want a dog, but she especially, like the person we're renting from, especially doesn't want a dog that destroys things, which means, as I said before, we're now going to have to give up Alex, which it's my dog, which really means I'm going to have to give him up. So I think I was like in denial, like even again, I knew from the start when I picked him up and held him in my arms and petted him and figured out a name for him and got engraved, I knew we were not going to be keeping that dog. But it doesn't matter how much you know something. It doesn't make it hurt any less. Like, it doesn't. We go and we go to a friend's house. And now we've had the conversation about Alex. We don't really know what we're going to do. We don't know if, like, maybe we can put him, like, in a daycare. Like, we'd left it as, like, we don't know what's going on. Nobody told me shit. But then I get told we're going to a friend's house, and my mom says to me, oh, we're taking Alex with us. And I was like, why would we take Alex? And she said, because, oh, they have another dog, and they kind of want them to play. And I was like, oh, okay. And I thought she was lying, but I couldn't figure out what it was. I thought the whole situation was fishy. So, again, impasse stuff for you right there. We go to the house. She does have another dog, so Alex does get to play. And Alex is having a great time. And then we get up to go. And Alex sees me get up, and he comes running right over to me. And we're going to go get out the door. And my mom turned around mid as we're leaving and says, "Tell Alex to stay." I said, "What?" She's like, "We're leaving him here." And I said, "I'm sorry, what?" She goes, "We're leaving him here. Don't cause a scene." And I had to tell this dog, who is on his way to come with us, to stay, which Alex knew to listen to me. He knew his commands. He knew to listen. So he stayed as I left him with this person I don't even really know, in a house I don't know, really. It was the first time I'd ever gone there. It was my mom said it was a friend of a friend. I'd never met this woman before. And on top of that, I didn't even know we were going to leave him. So I got in the car and I just cried. Now, Alex, being a beagle with a great snout, was trying to figure out how to get his way back to us. He did the exact same thing that he did at our house. He dug underneath the fence, got out, and had run over 2 miles away from the house and was running in the direction that we had come to the house from. So he was running back to us. And when I found that out, like, my heart just broke. I made a promise to myself. After that, I was like, I love animals. I love them. I love them so much. Like, I really want one. I really want to have one. But I refuse to ever get one again that I will have to give up. I refuse. Like, I'm not going through that again. I'm not. Now, if you're part of our Facebook group, you'll know where this is going. So, my dog, Emma, I've had her... Technically speaking, I rescued her. I rescued her from somebody who was abusing her. I didn't know this at the time, but I found her on Craigslist. The person said that they just wanted like $50. I was going to have to drive upstate to go get her. She had all her shots for the year. She had been spayed. She was a good dog. She was trained with a couple of things. But the woman said she was really disobedient, had knocked her down the stairs, like a bunch of stuff. And I was just like, what? So I knew this breed, and I knew it because I first fell in love with it when I saw a guy who had the breed in PetSmart. And I had a whole conversation with him about the breed. And I'd done all this research. And when we moved out when I finally bought my own house, I did a ton of research because I was like, this is the dog. Like, I now have a yard. Like, I now have, like, space and everything for, like, an animal. This is really the breed that I think will work for me. I did all this research, went through all these different sites, went through all of Google. Like, went through everything. So then I find the dog I'm looking for. It's for a ridiculously good price. And the dog that I have is a Great Pyrenees. Great Pyrenees, they're not really all that destructive. They mostly sleep during the day because it's a nocturnal dog. So it's just like, yeah, like this is really going to work perfectly for my lifestyle, which means that I'll be able to give it the best lifestyle. So we go to go get the dog, and it comes running out, like kind of barking at us a little, and then the woman like introduces the dog to us. And I put my hand down, like you normally would, to see if the dog will let you pet it. The dog ran away, and I was like, what the fuck? Okay. And she goes, yeah, she does that. And I was like, huh? Dogs don't do that. I mean, every dog has its own personality, but that's very strange. So she instructs us how to hold your hand out to the dog for the dog to come to you. And me and my dad both do it, and my dad does it first, and then she at least comes to my dad. And then she finally lets me pet her. I walk around the property. I sign. You know, I pay. We do all the stuff. And the lady says to her, she goes, she knows the words, do you want to go for a ride? So I say those words, open the back seat. My dog jumps right in. No problem, no nothing. And I'm like, okay. I get in the front seat, wave goodbye to the woman. Emma whined once, never said another word for the rest of the 2-hour trip. There is no way in hell that a dog does that. Like, there's none. I was like, no, clearly there was something wrong. I had never seen a dog who was so careful about its size. It seemed very stressed out. It seemed really worried that it was going to, like, break something, which I'd never seen a dog do. Again, the whole petting thing, that was really difficult. And she bonded with me, like, literally on the car ride there. Like, she bonded with me right away. So it took 4 months to be able to approach her. Like, if I had my cell phone in my hand or, let's say, I was talking on the phone, and I went to go pet her, she would run away from me. Even though we had bonded, she was now at my house, we'd been around each other for a really long time, like, she knew I wasn't going to hit her. She knew I wasn't going to, like, abuse her or do anything. Like, she just was freaking out about it. She had nightmares every single day. Whenever she would sleep, she would have nightmares. She would make these god-awful noises. The only thing that I could do to get her to calm down while she was asleep was I'd give her one of my shoes to sleep on. And that would help her. That was the only time she wouldn't have a nightmare. She had nightmares for probably about like 5 or 6 months every single day. And then like intermittently, like just, you know, randomly, then it just started to like slowly drift off. She wouldn't lay down when I would pet her for a really long time. That took about, I want to say like 10 or 11 months. And it took 12 months for her to actually roll on her belly. So like she was seriously abused. Like she was really, like she knew like I wasn't going to do anything to her, but she was really scared and super stressed out. And it was really sad to see that. Like, it was really sad. So we built a really good relationship, and I had her for a really long time, and it was amazing. Earlier this year, though, I want to say somewhere around March, she started acting really weird. She started destroying stuff in the house, which she knew not to do. And as per usual, I did a whole Google search because where I live, Great Pyrenees are pretty rare. Unless you buy one from a breeder, there are people who breed them here in Florida. They're rare. And so finding information out about them is hard. I'll be honest with you, it's hard. You can find out the general temperament and all that general shit all day long. You can't find anything else. And she was destroying everything. Like, she was going nuts. I would come every single day. I came home, there was something else. And I was just like, I don't know what's going on. Like, I don't know what's happening with my dog. I was like, this is not like her. And I was like, I don't know what's happening. I don't know what's wrong. Like, I don't know why she's so, like, unhappy. And I kind of, like, now that I have all my abilities and stuff, like, I can actually communicate with animals. In a more, like, energetic way. Kind of ask them a question or sort of see into like their aura and see what's going on with them. And what I realized was going on was she was just pissed. Like, she didn't have separation anxiety. She was just fucking mad when I would leave her. And so then she would just do something she knew would piss me off. And I mean, no, for real, this is what my dog would do. She would never do anything when I was home at first. Then she started doing things when I was home. But when I wasn't in the same room with her, so she thought I could see her. So she would, like, go in another room, go around a corner in a hallway where I can't see her, do something, and I would hear a weird noise, or because I was so used to her destroying something, I'd be like, she's way too quiet for things to be peaceful. So I got the mom spidey sense, got up, and I was like, for real? And she would literally, she didn't tucker her ears or look down or be upset. She would kind of do a little semicircle around herself, sit down, and smile. She was being like a fucking bitch. That's it. She was just pissed when I would leave her, and so that was her way of being like spiteful. And I know some people are like, dogs don't feel it. I'm like, yes, they do. There are extremely intelligent dogs, and Great Pures are very high ranking on that list. That's why they say they're really independent, they're very hard to train, like, and it's the truth. Like, it's definitely the truth, but if you work with them, they'll work with you. But, like, this dog, like, she knew what she was doing. And she had toys. Nothing had changed. Her diet hadn't changed. Her food hadn't changed. Like, she had everything she needed to make her happy. She just was pissed. And it was really clear. Energetically, it was clear. And I was just like, I don't know why she's so upset. I don't, like, I know, like, I leave her, but I've always left her, like, during the day. Like, nothing has changed. Like, I don't understand why she's so mad all of a sudden. Like, in a matter of a couple months. So then, you know, I do my weekly tarot card readings on Mondays or Sundays. And I start getting cards because normally I'll ask the question like, oh, you know, what do I need to know for this week? And I start getting cards that are talking about a relationship that I need to sever and I need to release, one of which I greatly love. And there's only so many things I love in this world to the point that my cards would tell me something about them. And I knew it was her. And I wanted to say no. But also, I do all this work with the universe. I do all this work with my spirituality. I do all this work with the tarot cards. So I know I can't really say no. I know that there's a reason behind it. Now, this has gone on for like 3 weeks. And it's right before the start of July, with the moon changing and Mercury retrograde and this being a really cleansing time, etc., etc. And I had made a deal with the universe. And I'd said to the universe that I would not entertain the thought, or the way that I put it was give up on her. No matter how correct it could be, no matter what it was that said it to me, unless I saw something that clearly said she would be happier elsewhere. And away from me. That was and would be the only way that I would say, okay, I'm done. So July 2nd rolls around. I take a salt bath and I do the whole, like, you know, I cleanse everything away from me, etc., etc. It's a huge cleansing day. I think I'd cried the day before because she destroyed something else and I was just so beat down about it and I cried. So then I take my salt bath, I come out. She did something else that day. So, I go online, and I start Googling, and suddenly, I come across a site with a couple of different breeders, and all of them start talking about how they had their dogs returned to them, because they breed Great Pures, around the age of 2 to 3, which is when my dog is. They were returned because the dog needs a farm. Apparently, this particular breed of dog, which I do know is a guardian farming dog. Well, apparently, if they don't have a farm, they get pissed. The pissedness causes a lot of anxiety, and then they just begin to destroy everything you own. And that's why there are so many Great Pures that end up being returned or dropped off at a humane society or brought to the pound. Because people don't know. And I couldn't find anything about that. I knew she was a farming dog, but everything that I had read said that if they don't have a farm, and what they mean by farm isn't even really truly land. Yes, they have to have land. I had land. That wasn't the problem. It was they had to have animals. It's kind of like a mom, like someone who's truly a mom. She needs to have children. Well, my dog needs to have tiny little children to watch over. And clearly not their owner. And I was like, okay. So that means that now I have to abide by my deal with the universe and give my dog up. And while this is a very sad episode, because I'm sure anyone who's ever lost an animal right now knows exactly how I feel. I have not made peace with this at all. I still have her right now. I actually did a tarot card reading this Monday, which would have been, I think, the 8th or so. And I got the Ten of Wands reversed, the Hermit reversed, and the Devil upright. Which basically all means that I have a really big burden. I'm being really quiet about the burden and kind of being secretive into myself and trying to be introverted about it. And the plane that I'm in right now is in between short-term pleasure and long-term pain. And I was like, yeah, actually, that's completely correct. That's where I am. Because it's like, okay, well, I have her. And like, sometimes she's kind of okay. But then she turns into a little terror and she just, I mean, I came home today and she just ripped up another portion of my carpet. Just because there's nothing, no reason. She just did it. And I sit here, I do all these episodes, we talk about the universe and the lessons. We talk about the universe and how it makes a difference. We talk about how we should listen to the messages it gives us no matter what they are. I didn't listen for almost a month. I told the universe I was not going to listen. Like, sorry, I hear you, but I don't want to hear you. And so until you give me indefinite proof, I'm not doing it. And so the universe said, all right, you want to play it that way? Okay, here's your proof. Boom. Now you have to do what I say. And that doesn't make it any easier. That doesn't mean I'm okay. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. It was really hard. It's been really hard to go through. There are a lot of times that people will ask me about Emma, and I cannot talk about her. But those have been getting better, actually, after Wednesday. And after I started actually sort of taking the advice of my tarot cards and being less introverted. Because I don't think, I wasn't really trying to, on my end, while I had agreed that yes, okay, the universe is correct, and for her, what's best for her, I will have to give her up because I can't be selfish just because I love her. Because it's not right. And while I wasn't ready, in a way I did kind of sort of do that for like the last couple of weeks where, you know, I knew I needed to give her up, but I didn't do it. But that doesn't mean that I blame myself for that at all. I mean, one, I'm human, and two, if I hadn't come across something that in concrete said, yes, you know, this is what's going on, and this is why she needs to go somewhere else. If I would have just said, okay, well, you know, everything's pointing me in this direction, so let me go ahead and take it, I would have a very hard time healing from that. And I would always feel like I gave up on her. And now I know that I haven't. And somehow after recording on Wednesday and how I felt on Thursday, and I think just being more honest about her with people, because they asked me about her one day and I couldn't talk about her. And I told the person, I said, you know, I appreciate you asking, but this is not something I can talk about right now. Thank you. And I felt bad for that. I was proud of myself. I was extremely proud of myself for, you know, doing what I needed to do for my mental health. But I felt bad because I saw this person like kind of come back into their shell. I think on Friday, I was actually really open about it with quite a couple of people. And that is one of the longest period of time I've ever been able to talk about it. And somehow on Friday, when I woke up in the morning, I realized I was doing this for me too. Because if I'm going to be proud about my mental health and about standing up for my mental health at that moment in the situation where someone asked and I couldn't talk about her, I would have to understand that, in all honesty, probably the reason why I got the message after I said I'm going to cleanse everything that's negative away from me is because this was a negative experience. I mean, the last couple months have been horrible. I was really, really worried about Emma and trying to figure out what was going on with her. I have done more research about dogs than I've ever done in my entire life. I took her to the vet, and the vet said they were okay, and I was at the vet for like 2.5 hours. Now, this vet is amazing, and they also will not do anything with your dog until your dog is comfortable, so that was part of it. But we had a long conversation. We talked about ultrasounds, and we talked about a lot of things. She's trying to figure out what was going on with her. And the thing is, she's a very special type of breed. If someone doesn't know anything about a farm dog or about a working farm dog, which in reaching out to people, I found out that some Great Pyrenees, if they're mixed with another breed, they may take on the personality of that breed. So they may look just like a Great Pyre, but like take on a different personality. And then yes, they don't need a farm. They don't need all of that. It's going to take me a long time to heal from this. It's going to take a long time. And, you know, accepting my messages from the universe and everything like that, yeah, that's great and all, but it still hurts. I think that's why I felt this was so important to share. Is, yeah, you know, the universe is great. Yeah, the messages it gives us is great. Yeah, we talk about that all the time on this podcast. Yeah, we talk about how, like, awesome it is to, like, know what's going on around you and be able to, like, use all your abilities to discern things and how important it is to be at peace with your spirituality and getting to, like, a higher vibration of yourself and the universe. And we talk about the paranormal and we talk about that journey. But it doesn't always make the decision or the solutions you have to do easy. It doesn't. And I read this like little Instagram. I've been on Instagram a lot lately. But I read this little like Instagram thing, and it said, in order to understand how to get to your higher self, you need to understand your lower self. And I was like, wow, because that's really true. Like in this moment, right now, I understand my lower self very well. I understand, like, and I'm actually really proud of my lower self because I know, like, if this had happened a couple years ago before I opened myself back up and I started doing all this work on myself and I started this podcast and I started, you know, just listening to myself and how I felt in my gut, I would not be taking this as well at all. I would not be handling it in a healthy way. I know that, and I'm not ashamed to say that because we all come from somewhere. But while like I'm processing and it may not always be in the healthiest way, meaning I may be in denial about it sometimes. I may like, you know, whatever about it sometimes. I understand that process. I understand what it means to me and what I need and why. And I understand that this whole thing means something to me. And I think some of my biggest takeaways from this situation and this experience right now is that, similar to like what I said in the actual main part of the episode, is maybe, you know, I definitely have a forever animal out there. And I know, like, I know that Emma, I think on one of the episodes, it was the interview with Courtney and Andrielle. Courtney said, well, maybe Emma's my familiar. And I was kind of like, I don't know. Like, we do, like, sometimes she reads me really well. Other times she's kind of like, it's like a little iffy. But I know she's not. Like, I know she's not now. And it's not just because of the destroying thing. Like, when I sat back and I kind of like looked at her and I really looked at her energetically, like I knew like our phase of the relationship had kind of moved out and we just weren't fitting right anymore the way that I thought we were going to, or the way that I hoped we would, or the way that we did when we first started this relationship and companionship. And so I know that there's definitely an animal out there somewhere who I will feel that with, or several that I'll feel that with. And I'm sure when that occurs, there won't be any concern about me losing them or having to give them up. Which definitely, you know, as going through this, there was one of the ways that I can say, like, I handled this a little
badly for myself is I definitely sat down and I was like, is there ever going to be a time where I don't have to give up an animal? Like, is there ever going to be a time where I can just say, like, yeah, this thing's going to be with me until, like, it dies and, like, it's going to stay with me and I don't have to worry about that? And, yeah, I asked that question. And that's part of what I mean by, like, unhealthy ways is asking that question and looking at it so negatively and with so much frustration. But I'm a fucking human being. And it's a frustrating thing. I did everything that I thought I could do or I needed to do in order to understand